a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boy, he'll try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're off and running here tonight. Voice is coming back. I know a few people were mentioning I had a scratchy voice the other night. That's true. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, is always presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We are on the air tonight. The call-in number is 713-780-3776. Producer Guillermo here. By the way, Guillermo, be ready. We are going to give some tickets away to the Dash in Kansas City this coming weekend. So, women's soccer fans, Kansas City's off and running. The Dash coming off a draw in Utah. We'll give some of those away tonight. Of course, the Dynamo are in action against St. Louis. That is a game that will be on Apple TV, but it'll be down at the stadium. Dynamo need a bounce back. They have lost two in a row to teams we don't like to lose to. That is Austin FC, who the Dynamo outplayed, and then the loss to FC Dallas as well after the early red card. So we'll talk about that tonight. We have from the Dynamo Faithful Podcast, Chris Sinski will be in here tonight. So appreciate Chris. Chris came into studio tonight, so we're happy for that. And we will banter some Dynamo and supporters talk with him in segment number two. Big thanks to Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. That's where you get your tickets to the Copa America. Pitch 25, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, Danish Inspirations, Cactus Music, Lamont Brands, and Capelli Sport. All right. We have later tonight the Columbus Crew at Monterey. Crew have a 2-1 aggregate lead. We'll get Guillermo's thoughts on that, but the first leg was in Columbus, a 2-1 victory in that one. They're down at the Estadio BBVA tonight. That's a later, I think it's what, 9:15, Guillermo, I think is the TV time for that tonight. That's a good watch. That would be very important for an MLS team to move on to the final. It's not going to be easy down there because Rayados have knocked out Inter Miami and FC Cincinnati. And of course, they've got Brandon Vasquez who moved over from Cincinnati. I would say for me, Guillermo, Columbus needs the first goal down there tonight in Monterrey, Mexico.
Yeah, they're 2-1 up right now. If they can get that goal, it would put them in a really good position. But this game just means so much for the MLS and for Rayados itself as well.
Yeah. Anything else coming out of Rayados? They have had some trouble in games where they have conceded the first goal.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of results, but this past weekend we were able to pull it over Necaxa 5-2, so I think puts us in a good position to be able to bounce back against Columbus because we will be facing Tigres next week, so we have to stay strong.
Quarterfinals, Clausura, they'll play Tigres. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better matchup. How does that happen? Monterrey and Tigres get matched up in the Clausura. By the way, Necaxa, as we mentioned on the last show, is full of all these celebrity owners. I don't know how much they're putting in, but they got a whole bunch of differing owners that are big-name celebrities involved. By the way, Pachuca knocked off last night Club America 3-2 on aggregate. They beat him 2-1. So Club America is out. The Tuzos of Pachuca, youth is king. Young guys getting it done for Pachuca. That's good stuff.
Aquí viene Emilio nuevamente, Rodríguez quiere el segundo Pachuca, Emilio recorta, vamos a ver, tocó para Chiquito el disparo, lo tapa Malagón, contra remate de Osa, gol de Pachuca.
I believe that was Miguel Rodríguez on that goal. That was in the 12th minute, that put him up 2-1 on aggregate, then they would go up on aggregate even further. Nelson Diosa, the second goal for Pachuca. And this, at this point, puts him up 3-2 on América. That would be the final. So here's what the goal call sounded like.
Ojo, disparo. Le va a quedar la pelota a Rodríguez. Gol!
All right, so let's move on now to let's start with yesterday, first of all. Let's start with Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Vinicius Jr. scoring for Real Madrid in the 24th minute. Now, I put something out on Twitter today that Aliou could learn something from that run of Vinicius Jr. And I mean this respectfully. And basically, I'm getting at that we need to see a few more central runs at time coming across the face of defenders from Aliou and then bent in like that. That give you a direct line and path to goal. So you're shooting at a lot of goal. It's not always Aliou Ibrahim in the corner trying to cut it in on his right. So I would love to see Aliou at times just go to the right side of the field, move around a little bit more instead of hugging the left side of the field the whole game. I know there's a lot of reasons for that. Not second-guessing anybody, but I think you come from the blind side, you come across the face of a back four sometimes, and you bend a run in there, and you're straight on goal. That's what happened with Vinicius Jr., and Toni Kroos hits an amazing ball. Now, Kim the defender, I don't know what the – you know what I was about to say he was doing, because every defender gets teased by strikers. You either follow him into midfield or not, but this was overly aggressive. In this case, you hold your position, in my opinion. It's easy to say now. But he was way overcommitted and made it too easy. And he opened up, you know, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. There was so much room for a player of the caliber of Toni Kroos to put it into. So here's the goal in the 24th minute. This would make it 1-0 Real Madrid.
Slip through towards Vinicius Jr. And that's what they can do to you. Out of nothing, Real Madrid conjure up a magical goal. And strike first in the semi-final.
Yeah, I beg to differ. That's not out of nothing. That's called being ready to take advantage of a massive individual mistake. That's not out of nothing. That is out of a massive individual mistake. And that level, Vinicius Jr. and Kroos, Toni Kroos, you're punished. You're punished. You're not always punished in every other league. That level, you are punished. Here's Leroy Sané, 53rd minute. This is a great goal. Fantastic goal. And he blasts this one in to make it 1-1.
Sané. Just to get it, Mendy. Sané! Oh, pick that up! Bang! He just changed gear there. And he's changed the whole mood inside this stadium. It's a stunning goal from Leroy Sané.
Yeah, it's a good call. Did change the mood. And then 4 minutes later, they get a penalty. Harry Kane to the spot.
He's 6 out of 6 for Bayern this season. He can take all kinds of penalty. Lunin Hussein from Bernardo Silva and Mateo Kovacic in the quarterfinal shootout against Harry Kane. So cool. And nobody has scored more goals in this season's Champions League now.
Harry Kane is the joint top scorer across Europe's big five leagues right now. 43 goals, level with Mbappe. He has now the most combined goals and assists of any player. 43 goals, 11 assists. He wants a trophy bad. He wants a trophy bad. Vinicius Jr., though, would go to the penalty spot. He would tie it up for Real Madrid.
Tens of thousands behind the goal. Kane didn't have this man facing him either.
To the stars of the world game. Vinicius Jr., versus Manuel Neuer. The greatest team game on earth becomes an individual contest, which Vinicius Jr. wins.
He has been directly involved in more goals in the Champions League than any other player, Vinicius Jr. 16 goals, 15 assists. He'll be with Brazil in June, up in College Station. You can go to that match and see them play Mexico. And get your tickets at LSSE.net, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. You can also get them for all the Copa America matches. We've talked about Colombia, Paraguay. We've talked about the Leagues Cup also. You can get your tickets there, LSSE.net, Leagues Cup with Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. We played some of Messi's goals. He drew over 60,000 at Foxborough Stadium. So 52% of the possession for Bayern, 48 for Real Madrid. The Bayern Munich had 14 total shots, 5 on goal, 10 shots, 4 on goal for Real Madrid. I mean, not a lot of fouls, 21 fouls, 11 corners between the two teams. And here is the manager, Carlo Ancelotti, post-match. A 2-2 result for them going back to the Bernabeu is a good result.
It was an interesting game, open game, of course, as has to be a semifinal. I think that we could play better. I think we didn't play our best version. And we had problem in the first half with a low block, too deep. Second half, when we start to put pressure to equalize the game, it was much better.
So you heard him there. He said we defended too deep, basically, in a low block, too deep. They do go in a low block, but he said they were too deep. So these are the things that managers point out. And then I saw another quote. He said, Vinicius is starting to understand how it's important for him to move inside the pitch, like I was saying with Aliou, and not only close to the line. He learned really well how to move. So differing movement in differing areas of the pitch for Vinicius Jr. Plus, when you bend a run in from a central position, it's a direct line to goal. It's not an angle. You can get there faster, especially that guy. And I think Aliou can too. I want to see Aliou getting put in, but from more central positions in the future. By the way, shout out to Seven Lakes, 6A state champions. They repeated 2 years in a row. You knocked out my good friend Bill McDonald. And, well, I don't think they got to play him in the playoffs, but I think you knocked him out last year at Strake. But congratulations to Seven Lakes. Okay, let's go to Thomas Tuchel, post-match, the coach of Bayern Munich.
We're not the first team they do this to. They can score from two chances. They score two goals. We had a lot of opportunities, especially in the early start of the match. Then we lost our rhythm and fluidity. I don't know exactly why. I think they changed the shape in defending. Then we conceded and our self-confidence was gone. We played too slow and could not create chances anymore. Second half was good. We scored early. That gave us a lot of confidence. Scored a second one. Had the opportunities to score a third one. And we were a bit naive in defending. Gave a penalty away. And that's why it feels a little bit like a loss. It is not. We have a draw and go to Bernabeu to win.
There you go. So that's Thomas Tuchel. So Bayern, by the way, after the Harry Kane penalty, they were pouring it on. They had like another two real good quality chances, maybe even a third. They could have got the third goal. That would have been something going back. Today we had Dortmund, and Dortmund got a 1-0 victory over PSG. Let us go to Niklas Füllkrug. This is a fantastic goal. His first touch is absolutely razor sharp, which makes him a favorite to score here in the 36th minute.
Schlotterbeck going direct in towards Füllkrug. Füllkrug is in. Füllkrug!
Oh! Absolutely magisterial! There's no other word for it! It's a fabulous pass over distance! But Niklas Füllkrug...
Breathe deep, Guillermo. Breathe deep. Here is... That was a game winner, by the way. It was a great goal. You could hear the excitement of the commentary team. Edin Terzic, the Dortmund coach. Here's some sound from him post-match.
Talk about the performance first. I think it was a very good game, a very intense game with a result that, I think that we deserved to win. I think it was a period where we've been a bit lucky, but we created good opportunities. We showed some good stuff. And now we're taking a small, tiny advantage into the second leg. Nothing less, nothing more. But I think it was a very, very good performance from our side.
I was, again, like with that, with Dortmund, I was hoping they would get a second goal. How about thoughts on the Champions League? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you got some thoughts on the Champions League. You know, by the way, on my way here, I stopped at the Cactus Music because Charlie Crockett, one of the great singer-songwriters, was in there. And they have these great events where he'll come in, he'll do a few songs in front of a crowded room, and then he plays in his larger venue, you know, either tonight or tomorrow, I think. I think he's playing the Armadillo Room, which is where Mick Jagger was standing outside. But that was fun, popping in there and seeing people before coming over here. Mexican players on relegated teams. Cesar Montes, Almeida. Guillermo Ochoa, Salernitana. What is happening with the Mexican player in Europe? Not too many of them. Now, we have Uribe Peralta at Ike Athens, doing very well. Chucky Lozano had an outstanding career. PSV, two titles. Napoli, Scudetto, and a cup at Napoli. And reports are saying he could come to San Diego FC. Chucky, we would invite you to Houston. Chucky Lozano. So let me ask you a question, Guillermo. What do you think is going on? Why aren't there more Mexican players like U.S. players now thriving in Europe, taking the chance to get over there? I have to mention Santi Jimenez, obviously, with Feyenoord. But what do you think is going on there?
I would say it's two things. First, I would say it's the mentality. I feel like to be making that jump into Europe and to be staying there and consistently be playing there and to be constantly fighting to be the best really requires a certain mentality. And it's also
whoa, you got to stop right there because you're slamming the Mexican soccer player's mentality right now.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
So too cushy. Get paid too well at home.
Yes.
Mama's cooking.
Yes.
You know, it's all good. We got our buddies. Don't want to take the risk over there. Don't want the unfamiliar nature of it. You really think that's what it is?
I really do think that's what it is.
And we've heard that for a lot of years.
Yeah, and it's just really easy to come to the MLS or to Mexico where they'll treat them like, you know, idols and stuff, and they'll get paid really well. So that's what I would say it comes down to.
You know what I loved? Here's what I loved. I loved, and we're going to hit a break here. I love when Stuttgart won it with Pavel Pardo and Ricardo Osorio. Pardo actually even captained Stuttgart. That was an amazing moment for a Mexican player that I don't think gets enough attention. You know, everybody talks about Hugo Sanchez. I would also say, why didn't anybody tell us Pavel Pardo was in town yesterday? We could have had him talking about the World Cup in studio here, English language. He speaks great English. I've met Pavel over the years and interviewed him. I mean, why is his stuff secret? He went to the Mexican consulate. Well, why aren't we putting these people out there? Especially somebody who's played in World Cups that we could really do some really amazing in-depth interviews with. I shake my head. This is the Rolling Stones' Rocks Off. They played this in concert at Energy. We're going to take a quick break here. First thing I want to say real quick here before we go to break, Pitch 25. A lot of big things happening down there. Paramount's coming in there for Brian Ching. I saw an article. They're going to get a lot of more great exposure. But get down there. They have over 100 beers. If you want to kind of relive like being at a game in an atmosphere with people and the jerseys and all that, it's where you want to be. Pitch 25. Right in the shadows of Shell Energy Stadium. They got a soccer field in there as well. Probably could put a full-size field in there. The place is massive. But it is Pitch 25, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Take a break. We'll come back.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, I'm not publicizing this. You shouldn't publicize this when you're getting to where I'm at. But LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts. Today is my birthday. It's May 1st. Even I can't forget that. LamontBrands.com. You want to do something for my birthday? If you want to, pick up a Soccer Matters t-shirt, only $20. Get a hat. I would suggest the black and gray hat. That's cool because there's a little color differentiation. But anyway, if you were to buy one of those, all the proceeds go to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. LamontBrands.com. Also, big shout out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Whiskey, beer offering, off the chart. Great traditional English pub food, bangers and mash, fish and chips. Get in there, say hello to David, say hello to Goose. And with that,
there's a lot of strange stuff that happens in the world of soccer.
It's clear something strange is happening.
So much so that Glenn ended up buying out a theater to showcase all of the weird stuff. It's time for Glenn's Theater of the Bizarre.
Ooh. All right. The famous Hernando Siles Stadium in Bolivia is at incredible altitude. In fact, I remember calling a Copa America and guys were shooting from the halfway line, the Bolivian national team players, because the ball just flew through the air. The altitude is crazy. It's one of the large. It is the largest stadium in Bolivia. But they have had multiple ghost sightings in the stadium during games, which is perfect for the theater of the bizarre. But CCTV footage caught a shadowy figure sprinting through the stands during one of the games strongest against San Antonio in Bolivia recently. But if you go back even 10 years earlier, the 91st minute of the Libertadores Cup, another shadowy figure. So these guys would be using their cameras on the game, and they'd see these weird figures just like running through the crowd. Kind of a spooky stadium. That's our Theater of Bizarre today, Hernando Siles Stadium in Bolivia. Ghost sightings.
Yeah, that was weird.
All right, this isn't weird. From Dynamo Faithful, he's Chris Sinski. He's joining us in studio. We're going to do a little Dynamo talk. We're going to talk some MLS, and we're going to talk some podcasts. So, Chris, thanks for making it into studio. I appreciate that. It's always fun to have someone in here.
I'm glad to be here, Glenn. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
All right. You're repping all the Dynamo Faithful guys. First off, talk a little bit about your podcast, what you do with it, the fun you have with it, and how it connects with Dynamo supporters.
Yeah, we get the guys together twice a week, once for a full episode, and then another time after the games to give our immediate reactions, and that comes out the next day usually. It's just a lot of fun. We talk about the previous matchup, we go into that in detail, stats, strategies, things that we saw that we didn't like, things that we loved. We have a Ben's Bestie segment where we talk about, like, which player would does Ben owe a lunch to for that game. That's a lot of fun. Then we talk about league news, Dynamo news, mostly Dynamo news. We're not super in-depth in the league, but then we like to preview the next match or the next matchups before the next episode.
Guys seem to have a really, really good time. We're talking to Chris Sinski of Dynamo Faithful podcast. All right, some thoughts after the last two games in general from you guys. I mean, those couldn't be very happy shows.
No, depressing maybe, the instant reactions, you might say. There was a huge Scroggins rant. If you haven't listened, find Dynamo Faithful on Spotify or on Apple iPod podcasts. And listen to that because it's gold. But I don't think any fans are super happy with the last two games. In-state rivals, can't find the back of the net, a red card 5 minutes in. It was just disappointing, frustrating, very frustrating, but hopefully just a blip, right? We've seen a lot of good stuff from the team this season. Hopefully that's just a small blip on the radar and we can right the ship with St. Louis.
It hurts more, though, that it's Austin and FC Dallas. Let's face it. I mean, Austin kind of was dead and buried. We were on the rise. I mean, I think 2 weeks ago I said, look, the best team playing football right now is the Dynamo. The best team drawing fans is Austin. And the best team in the past developing players is Dallas. And now all of a sudden Austin's playing the better football. They got a win over the LA Galaxy, and we've lost to FC Dallas. So this is how quickly MLS can change, I guess.
Especially the West. I feel like the Western Conference, everything's always so tight that a win pushes you up and a loss really drops you down quickly. And Austin got a couple of big wins, and we got a couple of huge losses.
All right. So, Chris, we got to talk about this because Guillermo cut a piece about me talking about what I think is very obvious. I think everything I said in here is very obvious about where the Dynamo are and that its strengths are obviously collective defending. And, well, that wasn't the case against FC Dallas, but it was a blip most of the year. They've been a great defending team, great possession team. Yes, we're waiting for Hector Herrera. Yes, we have high hopes for Sebas Ferreira. But it does feel kind of the same, almost as last year in a lot of ways, in a lot of games. Where are the goals going to come from? And if you look around MLS, you got Leo Messi with 9 goals. By the way, that's only in 585 games. 85 minutes, excuse me. Christian Arango, RSL's got 8. Benteke's got 8. Luis Morgan's got 7. Suarez, 7. Bawanga's got 6. Are we in a sense of urgency to get a goal scorer now? Or where are we, and what do you see, and what do you think is our biggest hope when it comes to scoring more goals?
Okay.
It's a lot to cut out there.
Are we in for a goal scorer right now? All signs point to no. I don't think we are. I don't think the Houston Dynamo are looking for a striker right now. I wish they were. I think every fan is like begging. But it really seems like someone up there said Sebas is going to be the guy. Ben seemed a little bit frustrated with Sebas's injury. I don't know. You can read into that or not. I don't know if he's just frustrated that there's an injury or with what his options are to replace him and things like that. But when your replacements are Gabe Siegel, young kid, Aliu, who is replacing another player already, and then...
Yeah, that's a good point. We do have to bring up the loss of Nelson Quiñones. But again, we don't have a real goal scorer in the front players. Nobody historically does. I think Aliu probably more than anyone. But historically, we really don't have anyone. So carry on.
Yeah. Well, I think the hope is that Sebas Ferreira gets healthy. Ben said that he does fit the system. Although last season, I think we all could tell that didn't seem like the case. It's been a year. Things can change. He's maybe learned a lesson overseas or down south, I guess, and not really overseas, and comes in ready to play once this injury comes back. But that 20-minute little showing he got with 8 touches during the game in 20 minutes and did nothing inside the box, I think 1 touch in the box, it doesn't look good. And I don't know if they're just praying that Sebas will catch fire and score some goals, but right now that seems to be all it is a prayer until summer window.
It's kind of interesting because he had 13 goals on a team that did not have the roster turnover and the quality that this team has. So good sense would say, he should score goals. But I think it's disturbing that he's got injured twice already. That to me is disturbing. I don't think the system, which, and I've said this repeatedly on the show, so I apologize for everybody out there throwing something against the wall, but it is a narrow system. Everything is carried in towards him. And he's constantly besieged by defenders. Yeah. Dynamo don't get a lot of corners because they don't get to the end line that much, and they don't earn a lot of corners. So everything flows in, and there's constantly bodies around him as the Dynamo are knocking the ball around the 18. And his game is not back to goal. His game is to be able to attack something that's in front of him or run on to something that's in front of him. So I see it as difficult. I really do.
I do too. And I'm really hoping that the front office sees that when he gets back in and plays some games, they use the summer window to their advantage. There's that new DP system, U22, young DP. It's really confusing for me. There are people out there who get it, but there's a change, and hopefully we can take advantage of that and get a guy who can make it. But right now, it doesn't look like that's what they're trying to do.
I get the sense from my interviews with Pat when he was in here, Pat Onstad, the Dynamo general manager, that they're leaning more towards two DPs and going to a fourth, using the slots for four under 22 initiative type players, young players. So I don't know if you're going to get any kind of seasoned veteran. And I do think – I agree with you. I think the emphasis is on Sebas Ferreira. But if you look at guys now, what are we getting close to the third mark in the league?
The way through, yeah.
You got guys – you got teams with 9 goal scorers, 8 goal scorers, 7 goal scorers, 6 goal scorers. We got a 3 goal scorer. We are – out of all the teams in MLS, us and Dallas, I think, have 9 goals. The only team worse is New England. This is a problem. Now, is it a problem that has to be addressed right away? Absolutely not, because Major League Soccer, 62% of the teams make the playoffs, and you can hang around and have something really break for you like last year with Griffin Dorsey, and the team takes off.
But look at Griffin Dorsey now. Teams figured that out. They know what we're trying to do with him, and he's been pinned back all season long.
Yeah, and even when he's gotten forward, I don't think his quality in the final third is the same. He's still looking for that first goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he was such an amazing revelation last year. I actually think, and I said this and some people didn't like that I said it, but I said I think it's good that he's going to miss this game. He needs a reset. He needs to look at it. And I agree with you. I think they're keying on him. They're keying on Aliu. And somebody else has got to be a threat central to score goals. I know Kovalchuk scored a great one at Minnesota, but, I mean, we're playing with two withdrawn forwards. We're not even playing with a real striker right now.
Yeah. That's a big pain to watch when you're just watching everybody pass around in front of the box. Nobody's getting in there. And when people do get in there, we don't have great passes to them. Like, who's creating the shots for them? I think we need a striker, and then I think we need either Bossy to step up his creation game, or we might have to find another creator too. With Kionis out, there's a lot of trouble.
You're also hoping somebody's going to emerge, but, you know, historically, if you look at the front players, they're technically good players, but they're not historically goal scorers, and you just don't have that. You don't have a Christian Arango. You don't have a Benteke. You don't have a Bawanga. You don't have some of these guys that just have this insatiable drive to want to score goals, that even if they win, they're pissed off when they leave the field that they haven't scored a goal. We don't have that guy. And if you look at MLS Cups going to, let's go to 2023, LAFC, you had Bawanga and Vela, right? Right. 2022, you had Castellanos, who's now the Argentine, who's at Lazio in Italy. He had a hat trick against Real Madrid, by the way, when he was on Girona. Columbus, Zelarayan had 12 goals. He was more of a playmaker, but Zardes picked up 9 or 10 that year in 2021. 2020, it's Raul Ruiz Diaz and Lidero.
Yeah.
You have to. There just needs to be somebody that has that drive to want to get to goal.
And that's the league that we're in now. It's not the MLS of yesteryear where a mediocre player is enough. Mediocre talent isn't enough for the MLS. We brought in Lionel Messi. And when Messi's playing, your team has got to raise the bar as well, you know, or else you're going to struggle. And I don't think the Dynamo have made that jump yet. They're banking on youth, and they're hoping to bring in probably another U22-type player. But I think we really have to bring in somebody who knows how to score goals, who's proven it either in this league or in another league, and can come in and get us 15 goals or maybe 10 if they're
all right. Chris Sinski, Dynamo Faithful. Does that bother you and the guys on your podcast? I mean, do you say, you know, how come that we don't have a more definitive striker now? Why don't we have a Gadsdag? Why don't we have a Bawanga? Why don't we have a Jovalich? Why don't we have a Rui Diaz? What about DC's? Got Christian Benteke. Does that bother you guys? I mean, what does that symbolize to you? Because there are great elements that have been put together. The staff has done a good job, but can you imagine plugging in somebody like that? Now, I know it's Sebas right now, but let's face it. Sebas got offloaded to Vasco da Gama because people didn't think it was good enough to do it for him last year. So does that bother you guys?
That does bother me. It bothers me even more that the club he went to didn't think he was worth it either. He got very few minutes when he was there. And then he comes back, and we're supposed to put our hopes on him. And, yeah, we have Hector Herrera, one of the best midfielders in the league. The Dynamo did an incredible move for him. But you have to supplement him. He's not going to score 10 goals.
Were you a little disappointed that he was a little not – he didn't seem to platform off the Austin game. I thought that was a good start, getting him back, the Austin game. But against Dallas, he didn't look very engaged to me.
Yeah. Austin, there was like a 10-minute spark, I felt like, where – We looked like that playoff bound team from last year.
Yep.
But this year, I'm putting it mostly on he's coming back from a major injury that was downplayed as a minor injury, but I'm pretty sure it was much bigger than they were saying. He was out a long time, and he's probably nervous, trying not to hurt anything, making sure is that leg, is everything as good as it was, and then hopefully we see a better performance. But yeah, a little disappointed, a little flat, but they did such a good job of changing the mentality. I'm just worried that our team is going to go back to that we're bottom of the barrel mentality.
I don't think so. There's too many new guys, 17 players turned over on this roster. Yeah. I think it's a winning mentality, but I do think mentalities can erode if you're not scoring goals and you lose a few games. It's a lot of pressure to play under when you're only scoring 9 goals and you're having to win games 1-0 every time. It's not easy. By the way, nobody out there needs me to really tell you that for that Major League Soccer is a forgiving playoff system. You don't really need me to remind you. It all took off in July last year in Leagues Cup. And let's be realistic. You don't have to be that urgent right now to solve problems yet. We still want to talk about this. I kind of laugh when their commentators on TV going, it's a must-win game. No, it's not. It's not a must-win game in April and May. All right, we're going to take a break. Chris, thank you so much for coming in. Chris Sinski of Dynamo Faithful, thank you for coming on tonight.
Glad to be here.
All right, Chris passes with flying colors tonight, Guillermo. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're going to talk about the summer of soccer coming up when we come back.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get to our next guest here. Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, David Fletcher. Look, we got amazing soccer content coming through Houston this summer. We got Brazil-Mexico up at Kyle Field up in College Station. We've got the Copa America. We've got Leagues Cup with Inter Miami, Messi taking on the Tigres of Monterrey. It's crazy good stuff. I would get your tickets for this. LSSE.net. LSSE.net. Tickets are flying as I know, but we're going to get an update on that right now. David Fletcher joins us from the great state of Arizona. David, how are you?
Glenn, it's great to hear your voice. I know you were rocking hard last night out at NRG, and your videos definitely prove you are a fan. You had it right up close. You were right there, man.
I was in the action. I mean, it's interesting though, because when you're that close, you see things close, right? With you know, Jagger, Richards, band members, right? Like any show. But then today, when I saw people's videos from way back, and just you know the giant screens and just the mass amount of people in there, I just thought some of those were the coolest videos. And quite frankly, you miss that when you're up front. So it's kind of a trade-off. And I know you saw the show. What'd you think?
I hope I can be as energetic as those guys are when I'm 80. They put on an amazing show, got their tour off to a great start, as they should, right in Houston. And, I mean, it's hard to believe because I know for fans like you who have seen him multiple times that this truly might be it probably is the last time that they're on stage, but boy, they did not go out quietly at all. So
that was some show. You know, I was thinking today, you know, well, where will I be at 80? And then I was like, well, I hope if I make 80, okay, that's number one, but where will I be at 80? I certainly will not be playing to what looked to be 70 or 80,000 people packed in there last night.
Packed house. You mentioned it. I'm out, fortunately, today on some business in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is not a bad place to be when I'm 80 or, you know, 40, 50, 60, whatever you are. So beautiful day out here. And every day is a beautiful day to talk about the beautiful game. We got a lot going on over at NRG this summer.
Yeah, catch us up and get us up to date. Of course, we know we can get tickets to all this amazing content coming through here, LSSE.net. But, you know, update us maybe on ticket sales, some things maybe we don't know, David.
Well, Glenn, look, you've talked about it so much over the last few months. The summer that we have here in Houston is just unlike any that we've ever seen. And it truly is an earned opportunity to have this much content at NRG Stadium, at Shell Energy Stadium. So many good things leading into and what certainly will follow the FIFA World Cup in 2026 this summer. Though stands out above all else, the return of Copa America, NRG Stadium, getting three matches again as we did in 2016. And I know your listeners know this because they're all very, very passionate soccer fans. The house is going to be rocking. Those matches are all, you know, are on very much on track to be sold out. We're out of as many tickets as we can right now on all three matches. Just a question of when you know CONCACAF and CONMEBOL will release more, but they're taking their time and doing that. So you know, look, you still have an opportunity to find great group opportunities, suites, other experiences around those matches. Mexico versus Jamaica opening up the tournament for both teams on Saturday, June 22nd. Colombia and Paraguay will open up their tournament on Monday, June 24th. And we will host on the 4th of July the first quarterfinal of the tournament, which will feature the winner of Argentina's bracket versus the runner-up of Mexico's bracket. And, boy, you just think about the possibilities there. Pretty safe to say there'll be a lot of fireworks if those type of matchups happen in that quarterfinal. And Houston has deserved the chance to host them, and we're going to put on a show.
Pretty incredible. And by the way, you know, I keep guiding people a little to that. That Colombia-Paraguay match, it, to me, sticks out. Nestor Lorenzo, who's the coach of Colombia now, I don't think they've lost in 22. And with the connection to Colombians in Houston, I got to think that's a hot ticket, Colombia-Paraguay.
It is the hottest of the
really?
Three by far. Oh, yeah, well over 50,000 tickets sold
Holy
for that match
smoke.
Already. It'll be a complete sellout. And, you look at the Colombian team, the success they're having on the field. Paraguay certainly no stranger to success in Copa America over the years. And you know, that's a rivalry game. Two South American clubs, which you know, really is what I think excites fans, is having the opportunity to see the high-quality soccer that's played in CONCACAF. And now you're bringing in, you know, some of the biggest brands in the world, including, and of course, Argentina. This tournament is so unique. It's the biggest sporting event to hit North America since the 2016 Copa America, and just an incredible entree for fans of the sport or fans of sport to see what just a taste of what will be coming to America in 26 with the World Cup.
Man, and the Colombian fans know how to party. I'm sure there was, you know, last night it was amazing. I saw Argentine flags. I saw Brazilian flags. There were people flying in from South America for that show last night, Japan. That's pretty crazy. So Colombia, by the way, everybody knows they have Luis Diaz of Liverpool, Jefferson Lerma of Crystal Palace. I mean, they got guys playing in every league, Serie A, La Liga. Johan Mojica, who I'm trying to get on this show in an interview for, plays at Osasuna. John Lucchemi is at Bologna. Daniel Munoz, if people follow Crystal Palace, they'll know him. So it's pretty crazy where these guys are playing. They're playing in all the top leagues, many of these guys. Some of them are in Russia. Some of them are in Brazil, like Arias, who's at Fluminense. But, you know, this is a team that's got guys playing in the best leagues in the world.
Well, and that's what this event will showcase to a lot of Americans who maybe follow the sport on the fringes or you know, certainly watch on Sunday mornings at the Premier League. But these type of players are through and through each of these clubs that are coming from CONMEBOL from South America. The quality of soccer is going to be only rivaled by the passion you see in the stands from the fans that are there supporting their clubs and their nations. It's such an amazing thing. We get to see it fairly regularly with CONCACAF Gold Cup. We've been very fortunate over the last few years to have some incredible matches, including both Jamaica and Mexico in recent years. And you know, what these type of events, you know, do to the fan base, how they invigorate, you know, the communities here in Houston and throughout the region and throughout the states, the people traveling in. It's really as unique a setting. I mean, I can aiken it maybe to, because it's a little bit more mainstream, maybe aiken it to a Saturday morning, you know, on a college campus, a big time rivalry game in college football. But I mean, you just have no idea if you haven't experienced it, what these type of games do in terms of bringing out emotion and passion and pride in their communities. And that's a huge part of the excitement of bringing these type of matches on a consistent basis to Houston.
No, we love the Colombian fans in Houston. There's no question about that. He's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. You get your tickets for the Copa America once they get more. It's at LSSE.net, LSSE.net. Now, David, we also get a rare opportunity to see the Canary Yellow of Brazil in College Station. This is a unique, you know, another unique moment, taking on Mexico up there at Kyle Field, you know, going right into the heart of Aggieland with the five-time World Cup winners, Brazil. Tell us a little bit more about that match.
Well, just an incredible collaboration, Glenn, between obviously Soccer United Marketing, bringing the MexTour events around the country, for well over a decade now. And the uniqueness of taking this event to Kyle Field, the first ever third-party event in Kyle Field. You know, they've hosted, obviously, 100,000-plus almost every weekend they can in the fall for years on end. But this will be a different type of atmosphere, and one that I think will really just be a special night. The first ever match should be the largest crowd ever for a Mexican national team. Ticket sales, again, have been very, very strong for this one. Wow. And we're very excited that we've been able to join Soccer United Marketing and the Dynamo, and along with Texas A&M, and bringing this match to our region. Two of the biggest brands in the world get the chance to play each other on what is arguably the biggest stage here in the state of Texas, in Kyle Field. It doesn't get any bigger in terms of attendance than that. It'll be a really, really fun experience. Certainly a different one from Aggie game days, but one that I think a lot of people will open their eyes to. And a big week in College Station. They open up with that match on June 8th, and then a week later, George Strait, Chris Stapleton will fill the house again up there at Kyle Field. So they're not laying up there in College Station. Their first two events ever that are not Aggie game days are pretty special, to say the least.
I think it should be
a lot of fun and a great opportunity. Yeah, a great opportunity for fans that may not be able to make it down to NRG for the Mexico-Jamaica match to see that type of soccer played on a big stage. It'll be a lot of fun.
Incredible. Real quick, David, because we got to close the show tonight, but real quick, do you see the University of Texas and A&M doing more of this? Because I always wondered, you know, why maybe they didn't do more international soccer games. I do know they're two of the most richly endowed universities on the planet, so maybe there is no need for that. But do you see that maybe changing a little bit with the World Cup and potentially seeing, you know, UT host a game at Darrell K. Royal as well?
No question, Glenn. I mean, you look at the uniqueness of a variety of things, the uniqueness of these matches being played for the first ever. This summer you're going to see matches in Ohio State. You're going to see matches. You've seen them historically in the past. You'll see one at Notre Dame. You've seen matches at the Big House in Michigan. And really, it's just the expansion of the sport, its access to different, you know, fans and communities that really have not been traditional homes for the sport. But that's what happens as the game continues to grow here in the United States. And that, I do think that, you know, these are the type of things that people love to be a part of, the first evers. You know, that's a memory that a lot of people, whether they're Mexican national team fans, Brazilian national team fans, or just soccer fans, will take away that they got to be a part of. Well, I do think you're going to see a lot more of that as the sport continues to grow, no question.
David, thank you very much for coming on. Your schedule is as intense as the Rolling Stones. You've been in stadiums all over the place, including Monterrey, Mexico. Thank you for coming on, as always.
Love being on, Glenn. Next time, we'll talk up our friend Lionel Messi coming up against Tigres on August 3rd, too. That'll be a lot of fun in Houston just to complete the cycle. So,
unbelievable. We will do that. And by the way, he is scoring goals, as everybody knows here who's listening into the show tonight in Major League Soccer. Thank you, David.
Take care, Glenn.
All right, that does it tonight. Great stuff there from David Fletcher to end it. I mean, look, you want to grab your tickets to these things. Big thanks to Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. Thank you for tuning in here tonight. Podcast of the show at Spotify, Google, and Apple. Again, you can follow me at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD on both Twitter and Instagram. And head over to YouTube. That'll do it tonight. Remember, Soccer Matters.